Recorded from the Oklahoma State University Stillwater campus, this is the Inside OSU podcast. Here are your hosts, Megan Robinson and First Cowboy Darren Shrum.
Welcome in to the Inside OSU podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined as always by my co-host, First Cowboy Darren Shrum. Oklahoma State has dubbed the 23-24 school year the year of the Cowboy. So it's great we have our First Cowboy and our two Pistol Pete Cowboys, Pistol Pete number 95, Bryce Kuhn, Pistol Pete number 96, Caden Shoffley, here today with us to celebrate being Pistol Pete, Frank Eaton, everything that comes with it, guys. Thanks so much. I know you guys have appearances all over all the time, so we appreciate you taking time to be here today.
Yeah, good to be here.
It's awesome.
Welcome. You bet.
Yeah. The main question everyone wants to know is, why would you want to be Pistol Pete?
Ooh. I actually, funny story, I was terrified of Pete when I was little. Like, I've grown up coming to football games and all that, and all I wanted to do was see Bullet. I wanted nothing to do with Pete, so it was kind of funny. Coming up here to college, like, it was a no-brainer. I was coming up here to Oklahoma State. I wanted to be a Cowboy. And then kind of watching Pete as I went through my college career, freshman, sophomore year, about sophomore year towards the end of it, I was like, that'd be kind of fun to get to serve the university in that capacity, be like what I believe is one of the big faces of OSU. So I talked myself out of it junior year. And then at the end of my junior year, I was like, well, I'm going to be mad if I don't at least try out this year. So here's how it happened, I guess.
Yeah, and for me, it goes back to my freshman year, really. I had a couple of my fraternity brothers who were Pistol Pete, and they kind of talked me into doing it and said, like, my personality would fit it. So if you really know me, I've kind of got this really goofy personality, and I just, like, don't care. Like, I'll just do whatever that's funny. So they talked me into it, and I went my junior year. And I didn't get it, but every day after that tryout, I thought about being Pistol Pete. And so I dove more into the history of, like, Frank Eaton and all the things that come with Pistol Pete. And, you know, I did what I could, and I went back, tried out, and now I'm honored to be able to do it with Caden here. And, yeah.
So we'll talk about the audition process. So how important are your dance moves in the audition process? And kind of tell us how that went and what was your favorite part and probably least favorite part of that.
Yeah, well, I guess dance moves were a little part of it. We don't want to give away too much of the process. But
it's a secret.
A big part of it is kind of sitting down and talking with past Pete alumni, which I thought was really cool.
Okay. That
they were all cutting it up, having fun with us, joking with us when we walked in, but they were still serious at the same time, asking all sorts of questions about Frank Eaton, about Oklahoma State, about us. So that was a big part of the process, was just sitting down and talking with them, which was really cool.
So they just really want to learn more about who you were as a person, those type of things. Okay. Yeah. What about you?
I would have to agree. I really liked the part of how, like, they're there and they want to know who you are. Even if you're not going to be one of the people they choose, they still care about who you are as a person. And they just are really interested in, like, really the true, like, for example, Caden Shoffley, like, who are you?
Right. It was kind of cool. So Casey and I got invited to roll call this year, of all the Petes. And I guess that's only the second year we've done that, maybe?
Yes, yeah, I believe so.
And so Rick Wilson invited us, you know, and the other Petes, of course, they welcomed us with open arms. And it was rainy that day, so we headed inside. And but I kind of got emotional when they were doing the roll call, right? And then the Petes that have passed, you know, there's somebody there to recognize them. But when they all say, you know, here, I think, or present, whatever it was, the term. But it just kind of makes you get emotional because it's such a tradition.
Yeah.
And so were you guys able to attend that? Were you there that day too?
Yeah, we got to. Okay. We were actually the ones that got to honor the ones that have passed away.
That's right, you guys. That's right. That's right.
So each year that they do have someone pass away, it's really cool. Fortunately, we didn't have anyone this year, but if they do have someone pass away that year, they will present the family with a set of spurs.
Really so awesome. That's really classic thing. I just loved it. I mean, it was really just a touching thing. And I told Casey we can't miss that again. And she fully agreed. So, yeah, it was fun.
I want to get to the brotherhood in a second because I know that the Pistol Pete is a fraternity of its own. It's very important to all the alumni. Sticking with the auditions, Caden, I learned that you got it on your first try.
Yep.
How rare is that?
I honestly don't know who the last person was, but I remember after they handed me my spurs, it was all kind of a whirlwind. I don't really remember everything that happened, but I do remember Becky sat us down and she's our coordinator. She's the boss. Whatever she says, we do. We listen to.
Yes.
But she said, "Hey, not very many people have got it first try. Are you ready for this?" I was like, "Yeah, let's go. Let's try it out." So I, looking back, probably wasn't as ready as I should have been, but we're here now, so it's good.
Bryce, how many times did you try out?
Twice.
That's pretty good, because I mean, I've learned that there are some Petes who have tried out 4 or 5 times for it and never got it. So you guys clearly did something right. You know, Frank Eaton, he's a huge part of that, learning his history. I think you've read the book. Mm-hmm. There was a book about Frank Eaton. Have you both read that book? For those who are not as familiar with Frank Eaton, can you explain who he is and what he means to this university?
All right. So... I mean, he was, in my eyes, one of the last great American cowboys. He embodied what it meant to be a true cowboy. And he might have had it in his clothes, too, but he also had it in his personality. Kind of what we hit on here. It's not in your clothes. It's in your character. And I don't know. He just really embodied what Oklahoma State stood for. I mean, at the time, we were the Tigers. Everyone's an animal. Everyone's a tiger. Not really as cool or unique as just a gruff old cowboy. So that's what I would say. He embodied the character and what we were striving for to be here at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I agree with Caden. You know, just that old bow-legged cowboy. I mean, it's a better fit than a tiger for a land-grant university in my eyes.
For sure.
But,
what do you mean? There are so many tigers in Oklahoma.
Yeah, you know, it's just kind of like he talked the talk and he walked the walk, you know? Like, he was here for Oklahoma State University, and he did it to the full of his capacity, you know, like he was going out and being Pete, and it was just him, you know. It wasn't like us, we're like, we're the head for Pistol Pete, but it was like him. It's what he did, and he loved it. So
yeah. So let's talk about kind of the weight of the job, so to speak. And so obviously Frank Eaton, you know, carrying the weight in the history of Pistol Pete and where he came from. And so how was the weight, you know, whenever you finally put the head on for the first time? How was that?
Definitely caught me off guard a little bit. Took some getting used to, for sure.
How much does it weigh?
About 40 pounds is what I would say. Okay. It definitely takes some getting used to.
Feel like a bobblehead or something in there.
And all that. Yeah. And not just, I mean, you did mention the weight of being Pete.
Right.
I feel like there's always someone watching you, which is fine, but it also keeps you on your toes.
Sure.
Make sure you're doing the right thing. Even when you're not Pete, everyone can pick out those boots from anywhere. So it definitely keeps you on your toes and making sure you're doing the right thing. So.
Yeah, it's like you said, eyes watching you all the time. Like, if you go look on social media or anywhere, you find pictures of Pistol Pete, and you're like, oh, that's me. But I've never seen that person. I didn't see them take this picture. Like, I would love to know how many pictures that I have been in since April, since I started Pistol Pete. Like, I wish I had, like, a counter, because I who?
Thousands.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's just really an honor, you know, to be able to do something like this. Not many people get to do it. I mean, he's number 96 and I'm number 95, and there's been 100 years of Pistol Pete. So it's like, wow, you know, it takes a lot to trust two guys like me and Caden to do something like this.
Yeah.
We've talked about Frank Eaton, though. The other weight of the role is portraying a real life person, whereas other mascots, it's just an animal or, you know, a fake thing. And it's like, oh, just put this on and you're going to be the tiger for the day. But no, Frank Eaton was a real person. His family is at games. How much pressure do you feel every time you put on that head to represent not just Frank, but the entire Eaton family?
Yeah, it is tough, because, I mean, we didn't get to meet Frank, so we didn't really get to personally see him. But it's still cool that we get to interpret it the way we want. Bryce said at one point, like, no one really knows what Pete does, so Pete just kind of does what he wants. So that's kind of fun. We get to walk around. We get to interpret things the way we want to. I think the coolest part of getting to interpret Pete is getting to get kids that were like me, wanted nothing to do with Pete, to come around and warm up to him a little bit. So that's my favorite part, is when I can give him a trading card, or get him to give me a high five or something like that. Show him that Pete might look big and scary, but he's gentle. So
I want to see Pete get a dog to warm up.
Hey, to him. Pete's pet posse, almost all the dogs love him. So that's how you'll see it.
Yeah. Oh,
they're smelling you guys. That's what they're like. Well, yeah. they think you're good people, right? So that's why they're doing that. That's right.
Yeah, I really enjoy the kids as well. But, you know, for me, I think, you know, Pistol Pete, what gave Frank Eden that nickname was he went to, I think it was what, Fort Gibson, mm-hmm. when he was like 16, 17, somewhere in there, and he traveled down there and he trained with some of the greatest marksmen in the world at the time. And a colonel there gave him the name Pistol Pete for his marksmanship. And so for me, I really like being able to carry that pistol and be able to spin it around and all the things to kind of embody and show what he did in his time as a cowboy and in his life. I think it's really neat that we get to do that here.
Speaking of the pistol, can you guys kind of tell us what model it is and then how it's loaded and those type things? Because some people always wonder that, you know, mm-hmm. is it a real gun? Is the shotgun real? Yeah. Is the pistol real? And of course they are. So
yes, shotgun and pistol are both real. We actually just got a new deal with Ruger.
Okay.
Where they sent us new Vaqueros, right?
Ruger, yeah, Vaqueros. Ruger Vaquero.
Shoots 45 blanks.
Oh wow. Yeah.
So we have not gotten 45 blanks yet. We're working on that still. So right now when you hear Pete shoot off a gun in Galagriba, right now we're just shooting our old 380. Mm-hmm. So just little smaller ones. So we're excited to get these big 45s in. But I mean they're real guns. They're registered in our names.
You guys get to keep the guns or is it you do? Oh mm-hmm. wow, so that's part of the gig too, huh?
Yep.
Right. So
the pistol?
Yes.
What about the shotgun?
No, shotgun we have to give back.
Okay.
So cool.
I didn't know. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's part of our new deal with Ruger that we get to keep the guns. They're putting our names now.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's really, really neat.
It's cool.
I tell you, the shotgun gets me every time. Even if I'm watching. Even if I'm watching, I'm like, there it goes. It's like, oh my gosh, it's so loud. So
I literally see him about to do it. I'm like, it's gonna happen, and then I
still
jump.
Do that.
Well, I say the very first time we got to like shoot him off and stuff. I guess it was during practice rounds and stuff, mm-hmm. pregame and all that. Just practicing a few weeks before the games, and we kind of had some, I don't want to say duds in, but they were kind of quieter. Like didn't even really think mm-hmm. much about it. Well, then I remember the walk the very first time we got some good high powered ones, and Bryce did it first and he shot it off, and I think we were both thinking the same thing, like, oh, something went wrong, because it was loud. It'll ring your ears pretty good if you
I was so worried.
Yeah,
especially inside Gallagher. It's unbelievable in there, right? So
I'm ready for wrestling matches when we can shoot them off.
That'll be awesome. So were you guys gun guys before you mm-hmm. became Pistol Pete? Okay. So you're familiar with pistols?
I grew up love hunting and stuff, so right, taught a lot of gun safety and all that stuff, but I appreciate a good firearm for sure.
Mm-hmm. You were both named Pistol Pete back in April, so it's been a little over 6 months, 7 months on the job. What has been your favorite memory so far being Pistol Pete?
People ask me this all the time, and I never know how to answer this.
You should have an answer by now.
I know.
Well, for me, I've got a couple instances. More of a sweeter memory was I did the ring ceremony. And, you know, for the clash rings, and I do the whole thing, hand out all the rings, and the little boy walks up as I'm leaving. I'm still in Pete. I'm going to change, and he gives me this thing, and it's like History of Pistol Pete, and he drew it on this paper with crayon and whatnot, and then he hugged me and said, I love you, Pistol Pete. And I still have that piece of paper. I'm going to keep that forever. And then a funnier one. So in our head, we have a little triangle on the chin, and it was either a little boy or a little girl. I can't remember.
You got to watch out for them.
They looked up. And they were like, hey, I knew you weren't real. And it was funny and stuff, but yeah.
You do have to watch out for those little kids. Yeah. They will look straight up at you if you're not careful. But I would say one of the more meaningful memories that I got to do was this summer. I think that was mid to late June. The Coaches versus Cancer golf tournament that was there. At the country club. That was really neat. Getting to watch Dave Hunziker and Larry Reese, two people that I got to grow up listening to, get to run the show and see that. Not only being surrounded by so many OSU greats that I got to grow up watching play football or any other sport, but there were so many kids that were either have already won or are still fighting cancer. And that was just so neat to get to watch them. They loved Pete. So that made it really special, but also just getting them, watch them interact with some OSU greats was really, really neat. And we raised a lot of money in the process. So I'd say that was a more meaningful memory for me.
It's just an awesome interaction experience, you know, whenever you're watching the kids. I could see guys most interact with kids in the end zone, in the West end zone during the games. And some kids are hesitant, you know, and ESPN occasionally will have contests, right? And we seem to never make, you know, always the best reaction with kids because, like you said, it's a little bit scary. But I think once they get to sit on your knee and you guys take a picture with them, I think that changes and realize that, hey, you guys are not, you're not bad guys. And the majority of them love you guys, right? They want a picture, they can't, and they're always, you know, excited to do that. And the parents, I think, are most excited, you know, so they're always pushing their kid. You're scared, but let's go, you know? And so, but anyway, so you were talking about most memorable experience. What was yours with a kid that you've actually got to interact with?
Oh, I will say I did go to, I believe he was turning 5 or 6, a birthday party for him, and they had, like, bounce house, all the whole nine yards. It was OSU themed birthday party, and every little kid there loved Pistol Pete. Like, he wanted to drag me around showing me everything, and I ended up sitting on his grandpa's tailgate with him for a while, just taking pictures, hanging out with him. So that was a really fun experience with the little kid. He had no fears of Pistol Pete. He loved him, so that was fun.
What is the most surprising thing about being Pistol Pete that you did not expect before you became the mascot?
I would say just the sheer amount of events that we do. Weddings and birthdays are two of the biggest things that we do. And I would have never thought, like, oh, I want Pete at my wedding, or I want Pete at my birthday, or anything. Like, I would have never thought of that. It never dawned on me. But that is a huge part of what we do. And it is fun. There are some times I'm like, oh, I got to drive all the way here to see that. But as soon as I get there, I'm like, this is so much fun to get to see everyone that loved Pistol Pete. Like, they don't want him at his birthday just because. It's because they really, truly do love OSU. So it's neat.
Yeah, like kind of like what he was saying. It's more or less like for me, I understood there's a lot of events you did and all those things. But it's like the miles and how far people will want you to drive to. Sure. Do something.
Did he get mileage?
Yes. Yes, but, thankfully.
That's like, always.
Like, I drove, he drove down to, I think, the Woodlands.
In Houston. Houston. Like, my second or third week as Pete. Wow. And, like, someone wanted me down there.
And then, like, for me, I drove down to Fort Worth for a wedding, and I was only there for 30 minutes, mind you. You know, it's like, for 30 minutes, it's like, oh, just one picture, and then you can go. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
pretty cool. But
you guys get more dates?
What now? Oh, yeah.
Get more dates since becoming Pistol Pete.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, no. I would say another thing. Sorry, it just popped in my head. Like, Pete, you send in a request for Pete and all that, it gets okayed by Becky, and then that's up to us. Like, we have to invoice it. We have to make sure the mileage is correct. We need to talk and email with the people that have requested us and all that. So that is a big part that I was not expecting as well. Sure. Like,
it's a
we are in charge of doing all that.
Interesting.
Darren, was Pete at your son's wedding, your daughter's,
wedding? So a couple years ago, which was awesome. And we had a tornado like 3 miles south and, you know,
in Edmond. Oklahoma wedding.
It was perfect. It was in October where the weather's supposed to be calm, right? It was supposed to be great. And we had a storm, but Pete was there and a huge hit, you know. So we got out and danced a little bit, you know, and on the floor and all that, which was pretty cool.
Oh,
so
yeah, you gotta hit the dance floor at least once. Sure. Yeah.
Most of you guys have got pretty good moves. I mean, you guys, I'm watching, I'm like, some guys are, you know, especially when you see it in Gallagher.
Yeah.
So when you guys are starting to do stuff.
But he definitely has better moves than me. I will say he dances a lot more than I do. But
you don't really have to be shy because, you know, most people wouldn't recognize you probably. I mean, which is kind of sad because it'd be cool to be recognized when you walk around. But but yeah, I that might help you, you know, kind of hide.
Oh, it does, for sure. So kinda, you're like, they can't see my face. I can
do whatever you want.
Be a fool. Right?
I can't imagine being like the leprechaun at Notre Dame or the Mountaineer from West Virginia, where it's literally your face. I was at Big 12 Media Days and I saw this guy walking around like one of the bars we were in, and I'm like, that looks like the Mountaineer. And the next day, sure enough, it was the West Virginia Mountaineer. I was like, yep.
I've met him too, and it fits.
It seems like
he's got that
it.
Joe Dirt look, right? Yeah. So, definitely. Daniel Boone,
You guys are 95, 96, so there is a fraternity of 96 Pistol Petes. What does being a part of that mean to you both?
I think I really enjoy it. I mean, we've both are in a fraternity. We've been there for, I guess, 4 years now. I'm in Farmhouse.
I'm in AGR.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. So we try to keep it civil, but we do pretty good. But
were you guys friends before?
We kind of knew of each other. So actually, fun fact, we actually grew up 20 minutes apart.
Wow.
So he's from Mountain View. I'm from Hobart. We're both from Kiowa County. Southwest Oklahoma born and raised.
Then, right?
So yeah, that's good. Must be. What was I saying?
You grew up 20 minutes apart. Darren asked if you were friends before that, but you knew that you knew each other, but
yes.
You weren't friends.
Yes, but I mean, we've gotten a lot closer since. I mean, forced and just on our own.
Forced.
Getting to
we've had no choice. Other.
Yeah, but back on the fraternity aspect of it, I mean, we both have. I mean, spent 4 years now in a fraternity, so we kind of knew the ins and outs of it. But I feel like this is a little different. I mean, you're not physically living with these guys, but, I mean, they still treat you like you might have only met them once or twice, or maybe you have only met them at the actual audition process. Mm-hmm. But they still will walk right up to you, shake your hand, and treat you like they had known you for years. So that was a really neat thing. And I'm really looking forward to continue to build those relationships with those guys.
Yeah, I really like – we'll get random text messages all the time, and it's like Pistol Pete number such and such, and it's like, hope everything's well. If you ever need anything, shoot me a text or call me. Always running into, it's amazing, weddings or anything I run into, you know, you'll run into past Pete's as Pete at things, and they'll like lean up to the ear and be like, Pistol Pete number, yada yada, and be like, I'll talk to you after.
You have a secret handshake.
No, we don't.
Maybe cool, you guys should start one.
Yeah,
maybe that would be kind of cool. You have to really tell the truth.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just really, it's awesome. Not just only like the brotherhood behind it, but the support system that's there. Like, I mean, they understand and they care, and they realize that we're doing a lot, and they care for that, and like they want to make sure we're all right. So
it's such a badge of honor, you know. And you guys will go down the history books, right? So I mean, that's just it's really cool that you guys get to be a part of that. I mean, it's just. Like I said, the pride those guys showed at roll call was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And plus the family members, you know, like you said, the ones that even passed, the family that showed up and all that was just really touching, you know. And so it's really something that you guys should be extremely proud of. And I'm sure you are. But even as you get older, you'll even go, wow, that was just a pretty cool time of my life, man.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. I mean, I do appreciate it now, but I'm sure I'll look back and go, wow, I really had it amazing.
Yes.
So
I would agree.
And Bryce, you were there when I was talking to you and four other Pete alumni, and Rick Wilson was one of them. And something that really stuck with me that Rick Wilson said, who to me is like the epitome of Pistol Pete, he's like the ringleader of the alumni.
He's so
involved. I know he took a step back when Parker was Pistol Pete a couple years ago. I digress. He was talking about how doing interviews like this, sharing stories, getting it out there helps keep the Pete Library alive. And we are allowed to keep telling your story, because although you guys are Pistol Pete, you all have different experiences as the mascot, even though you're doing it at the same time. And so I just know that the Pete alumni appreciate people talking to the current Petes, former Petes, hearing their stories, because every story is different, but they're all connected and they're all the same because they represented Oklahoma State. They represented Frank Eaton. And that's just something that stuck with me. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, getting to share your stories and your experiences and all of that.
That's one thing I really appreciate is that, I mean, most mascots besides, I mean, the Mountaineer and all them that can't, most mascots cannot say who they are, or like their identity is a secret. You can't know, you can't tell. You can tell your immediate family, that's it. That's the one thing I really appreciate about Pete, is they want you to go out and do stuff like this. They want you to go and talk and share your stories about being Pete. So I really appreciate that aspect of it, that I don't get to just put on the head and be quiet, but I can actually take it off and talk to people and share my experiences.
Has that always been part of the tradition? You're not allowed to speak and talk, I mean, to people whenever they walk up to you? Has that always been, or is that just kind of something new? I'm not sure how that works, so.
Like with the head on?
Yeah, because when Casey and I first came, like, hey, what's going on?
Yep.
You know, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I get it. I'm like, okay, so.
I think it's because, like, Pete doesn't have a voice type deal. Like, it was Frank
who,
you know, he was talking, but now nobody can talk like Frank Eaton did. You know, we don't know what he sounded like, so we don't talk.
I think it's probably best that way.
It makes it a lot more fun.
It's more
too.
Mysterious, too, because it's just like, hands what's going on in there? And I only learned, a couple years ago about the handkerchiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how to tell you guys apart. So I won't give up that secret, so I don't know. So I don't know if that's a secret.
You're orange, secret. Yeah. You're white.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then back pocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Back left.
And then your chaps have your initials on them somehow.
Yeah. Right. So that's kind of... That's the cool thing. So our chaps and gun belt are made by Mock Brothers over at Sand Springs, and our gun belt we could design the way we want it. So not everyone has their probably name and initials and stuff, but like we both got our peat number, initials, I got my cattle brand and stuff. Like we got to choose like the stamping and all that stuff. So that's cool.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. each gun belt's a little different.
Cool. Bryce, your initials are on your gun.
On the holster.
On the holster, that's it. Because, yeah, I noticed that. I'm like, I haven't seen that before. Because normally I've seen them on the belt itself. Yeah. But I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of.
You're really checking these guys out, aren't you?
Oh, I listen. I am a peat aficionado. Now, well, also
the details, right?
I also like to know because I've met you prior to this and I saw you at an event. I'm like, is that the peat that I know? Is it weird if I'm like, hey, I mean, it's peat, so no, it's not hey, but am I waving to somebody that I've actually met? Yeah. Or am I waving to somebody that I've never met in their life? And they'd be like, who is this weirdo? I'll be like, hey, Pete, hey. So I also just, you know, I just like to know.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, it's all good. So
when you know Pete's, I like to know who I'm waving to.
Fair. That's right.
100 years of Pistol Pete. Well, officially the mascot, I think, has been around for about 65 now. That came around in 1958. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been 100 years of Frank Eaton, Year of the Cowboy. What advice would you have for Pete's over the next 100 years?
I would say, you know, it kind of sometimes it gets a little bit like you kind of get tired of having to go, do it. Because once you get there and you put the head back on, it's like, oh, I love this. This is why I'm doing this, you know. Never think negative about the job, you know, because then it's just going to turn into a cycle probably. So just stay positive about it and go do and have fun with it. Be Pistol Pete.
Yeah, I would definitely remind them that although you can't talk with your words, you can definitely talk with your actions and people watch you. So they always say actions speak way more than words. So just remember that everyone's watching you all the time, even when you're not Pete. But it is a lot of fun to get to express that and to be show your spirit without even talking is a really neat aspect of it. So I'd say find good and fun new ways to continue to show your spirit for Oklahoma State.
So I know we're getting close on time, but I do have to ask one question. So have you guys ever had any run-ins with any of the other mascots? Mm-hmm. Ever want to challenge you to a gunfight or anything like that? Or
I don't know.
Is there any trash talking that goes on between the mascots?
We play it civil. We show them where we get dressed at and stuff. Like if you ever need a break, get a break and stuff. But for two games in a row, Cincinnati and OU, they both had the amazing idea to dress up as Woody from Toy Story. So and they just thought that was the funniest thing ever. And we were just like, whatever. Okay, cool. Yeah. So that's probably the only beef that we've really had. I don't know.
When I was in UCF, they were messing with me. The thing was, they weren't around me though too long. Like they'd walk by and like they'd poke at me or something. But we actually changed in the same room, and there's 8 to 10 of those guys.
The Knights.
Knights. There's 8 to 10 of them.
Almost everyone has at least 6.
Yeah, almost every school has like 10 or so people doing the mascot job, and like for us, specifically, there's 2.
I knew you guys were tough guys because it's 100 degrees outside, man. It's got to be hard on you guys. Yeah. So you guys split. You split quarters or split halves when it's hot like that?
Split quarters.
Okay. Yeah.
For all home games. And then away games, it's just one of us goes.
Wow.
So, so like he was running around at UCF, and then there's only one Pete in the state of Oklahoma when he's gone. So I was running around the state on Saturday as well. Right. So we remain busy during even away games too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Last thing for you guys, what do you hope for the next 100 years of Pistol Pete?
I think I've already answered this question once in a different podcast with you, but for me, I hope that that gun is still on the hip of Pistol Pete, and I hope that the loyal and true is still loyal and true. You know what I mean? Like, Pistol Pete is still Pistol Pete. He does all the things he does now. Everybody loves him, and you know, it's really that pistol, because that's what sets Pistol Pete apart, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would definitely say just to keep him original and keep him as close to the real thing as possible, for sure. Mm-hmm. So if we take anything away from Pistol Pete, it's kind of taken away from Frank Eaton and what he stood for. So I hope that we can continue to be the same good old Pete as we've always been.
Well, thank you all for watching and or listening to this episode of the Inside OSU Podcast.
he's first cowboy Darren Shrum. I'm Megan Robinson, Pistol Pete 95 and 96. Bryce and Caden, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.